Hello, David Diga Hernandez here. You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my newest sermons and teachings. Be sure to visit the ministry website, www.davidhernandezministries.com, and remember, nothing is impossible with God. Well, I'm excited to be here. I know it's been a powerful weekend, and it's always a privilege to minister here. And that is true. The first Sunday morning I ever spoke at, my first Sunday morning service, was right here in this building in Praise Chapel, Kansas City. And I was very nervous. And you know, we were just talking right now, Pastor Kelly and Sister Esther Lorke. I was actually at their wedding. I'm actually in many of the wedding photos. You don't believe that, do you? I was in many of the wedding photos because my mom was the maid of honor, and she was pregnant with me. And my dad was the best man in their wedding. Yeah. So, I love your pastors, known them pretty much all my life. And I know. And April 4th, I'm getting married. Now, who was that lady, Prophet Rob, who came up to us beforehand, that service? And she handed us these gifts. What's your name? Stephanie? Stephanie, you gave a gift to my fiance. So I wanted to thank you, but you took off so fast. And so Jess said, you better thank her. And so I said, okay, yes, ma'am, I'll thank her. I'm learning that. So I said, okay, I'll make sure to thank. So she wanted to say thank you. I know, personal moment in front of all these people, but thank you for that gift, and I appreciate that. I don't know if we'll have a chance afterwards, but I'm excited for what God's going to do tonight. And I believe that many of you are going to be healed, many of you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and many of you are going to leave this place having experienced something in God's presence that you've never experienced before. I'm believing that some of you tonight are going to touch God in a way you've never touched him before. And God is going to touch you tonight in a way that you've never experienced before, because the scripture says that we go from glory to glory. And what it's talking about there, I mean, I understand the blessings, I understand the increase, that's part of it. But the idea there is that we move from glory to glory, becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And that's my prayer, and that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he manifests the Son. He incarnates the Christ. He brings Jesus into this reality. And the way he does that now, the way he did it before, is through conception to the Virgin. That was the miracle, and Jesus was born. But the way he does it now is he incarnates Christ in you. And so as he works, you're going to leave this place tonight. Not only are you, some of you, you've came with sicknesses that you've been dealing with for many, many years, and you're going to leave tonight completely whole. You're going home to be well tonight. And I believe that this for some of you, and I believe for all of you, is going to be a night. This is the night you remember. That was the last night I had to deal with that sickness ever again. And you're going to testify to the goodness of God. You're going to talk about the healing power of Jesus. Do you believe it?
Yes.
I believe it. I really do. And I've been praying all day. And we were here at this session. I left right away. And all I've been doing, what I do is I write my prayers. And so I was just writing and praying and writing and stopping worship music. And then I would write and then I would pray. And I was just spending time with the Holy Spirit, and really, I used to be very, actually I should say within the past 6 months or so, God's really been doing a work in my heart to where there's this very holy and reverent trembling that comes on me before I minister, because I recognize that every word I speak, and not that I didn't recognize this before, but even more so, it's becoming more apparent now that every word I speak, you're hearing it, and God's touching your life, and some of you are going to go and receive those words. So I'm here before you today with great reverence toward the Holy Spirit. And I told him, as I always do, I said, I'm very helpless without you. And I have nothing to give these people. I mean, really, I have nothing to give you apart from what the Holy Spirit has to give tonight. And so I want to minister tonight on reservations and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jeremiah. You can take a little break there. You're going to need all the energy you can get later. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to go to verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And Jesus here is talking first about persistence in prayer. And he's talking about this very focused, this very ardent, this very passionate pursuit of what God has for you. Luke chapter 11, verse number 9. The scripture says this, and this is Jesus speaking now. He says, "And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. And you will find, and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Jesus is making a promise here. This is the promise of persistent prayer. This is the guarantee that God gives you. I mean, we talk about going through things. We talk about pursuing. We talk about being passionate. We talk about staying faithful. But you cannot have faithfulness in a matter of days. You cannot have faithfulness in a matter of weeks. You cannot come to church for 6 months and serve God for 6 months, backslide every 6 months, come back and say you've been faithful to God for the past few years. Faithfulness is consistent obedience over long and extended periods of time. Faithfulness is when you stick it out. Faithfulness is not just a position, it's not just an action, but it's an attitude, because you can show up to church and still be unfaithful. Faithfulness is inward as far as it is outward. Faithfulness has to do with our commitment to Jesus. And so what Jesus is talking about here, he's saying, hey, when you pray, you keep asking. Keep asking. Now, why would he say that if he expected every single prayer to be answered right away? By Jesus saying that, we see that the implication is actually that many of the things for which we pray come over extended periods of time after much battling, after much pursuit. I mean, even in business, I read a lot of biographies about businessmen, and many times they failed several times. You were telling me, Pastor John, that your cousin, he owns a successful company, and that he failed before he owned that company. How many times? 22 times over how many years? 22 failures over 22 years. It was an annual failure for 2 decades. And now he owns Arizona Iced Tea. Yeah. I just vicariously name dropped. But this I'm talking about persistence. And many times I've read in their biographies where even inventors and businessmen, and I'm amazed at how businessmen and inventors and people of the world can sometimes be more keen to the principles in God's word than we are. And they persisted and they kept going and they did not quit. That is the law of persistence. If you keep going, you will reap. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says that if we keep sowing, if we keep giving, if we keep plowing, the many different translations say many different things, but the idea is that if we stay persistent in doing what is good, then when the timing is just right, God's going to let you reap the harvest of those seeds that you've been planting. And so this is the encouragement, because the temptation is that I quit after I feel like giving up. Here's the really difficult part, is that persistence doesn't even begin until you feel like you have nothing left to give. Persistence doesn't even begin until you feel as though you have absolutely nothing left to give. When you've come to the end of everything that you have, and that's where frustration comes many times, is these barriers that you just can't seem to get over, these barriers that you just can't seem to get past, and it even becomes a problem in your heart, because cynicism starts to set in every single time somebody tells you that your breakthrough's on its way. And the problem is when the process of faithfulness is supposed to make us ready to receive what God is giving for us, instead we remain faithful on the outside, not on the inside, allowed cynicism and skepticism to set in, and by the time God is ready to bless us, we're not in the position to receive it. Because when they say your breakthrough's coming, your miracle's coming, your healing's coming, already in your mind you're telling yourself it's not. Already in your mind, you're telling yourself it's going to be another disappointment. It may be that you have another couple years of disappointment, but the law of persistence, this is what the scripture says. If you keep going, you will reap. That law of persistence is from Pastor Paul's book. I was reading that, Pastor Paul. Excellent insight on the law of persistence. And so I thought about that when reading this scripture. That Jesus says you keep going, you keep asking. You ask when God doesn't answer and seems to be hiding, you go seek him. Okay, where is God? And when you can't find him, you get to his house and go, I don't see him. Is he home? Then you go up to the house and you start knocking. And you keep knocking. Sometimes you ask, he says, here you go. Thank you, God. I appreciate it. New converts, that happens for them all the time. It's because God is testing your faith and he's growing you. And so you ask and you receive, but you got to keep asking. You have to keep persisting. You have to say, okay, God, I'm not going to give up until you do this. I know you're able. I know you promise this. I know your word says this. And so because of that, I stand on the very promises of God. I am not shaken inwardly or outwardly by what circumstances bring my way. I am standing on the truth of the word of God. And I'm going to keep pursuing. So he says, keep asking. You'll receive. Keep seeking, keep looking for it, and you're going to find it. And if you knock, the door will be open. These are degrees of growth, because children ask and receive. Mature people seek and find. And people who are in fellowship with God knock, and he opens the door to them. It is a growth of prayer lives. It is a growth in the Spirit. It is maturity in your relationship and your friendship with the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe, like I said, in all of these wonderful blessings, but Jesus here is talking about one thing in particular, because you keep asking, that's a principle, and it applies all across the board. It applies to your business, it applies to your family, it applies to your relationships, it applies to your ministries. I could go on and on and on, but it applies, because God's word works. And then Jesus here is also talking about something else. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. He says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Some of you might. This is Kansas. You guys, what do you guys have? What was the animals you guys, the pets, the odd pet in Kansas? What would it be? A ferret? If he asks for a fish, you don't give him a ferret? It says, some of you know how to give gifts to your children, good gifts. And then he says this in verse 12, or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? What's for breakfast, scorpions? He says, of course not. And then Jesus, you know, meek and mild Jesus, polite Jesus, reverent and holy and gentle Jesus, says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I feel the anointing here, guys. I was ministering on my school grounds. And now you have to understand, it was hard. It was more difficult to minister at my school than probably the worst public school that you could find. And I'll tell you why. I'm not saying it was more dangerous. I'm not saying it was more life-threatening. I'm simply saying that it was the most difficult soil. I went to a Christian private school. And everybody sends the worst of the worst to Christian private schools, hoping that the good kids will influence them. The problem is that's all pretty much who goes to Christian private schools. A good majority of them are the kids who everyone was hoping would do better, but they just basically sent them all to, it was like Australia way back when. And they just sent all the criminals to one place, and it became us. So we became our own little, it was the Australia of private schools. And so there's all these kids, very hardened. I mean, we're talking Bible class, and then they would go, you know, do drugs in the bathroom. It was a bad environment. And I remember myself and a very small group, about four or five kids, they would never come around us because they knew we were the real deal. I had kids manifesting on school campus near me. And that's when I first began to develop this friendship with the Holy Spirit, as every believer has it. And I remember I started to pray for kids on, and this is before I preached in pulpits. This is before I even recognized that it could be some type of organized ministry. This is before anything was organized. It was just me, a Bible, I loved God, I prayed, I got to know the Holy Spirit, and I went to go tell people about it. It was personal, one-on-one, guerrilla-style evangelism, and that was my lifestyle. It is my lifestyle. I'm relational evangelism. My friends, I'll build a friendship, and that's how I do it, and there's other ways to do it, and they're all needed. And so I remember I was praying for kids, and we're talking miracles would happen right there on school grounds. And the second reason this is a very difficult ground to minister upon was because it wasn't just a Christian school, it was a Baptist Christian school. I know, that's what I said. So not only are the kids very hard-hearted, but the staff, if they saw me praying for kids in a certain way, I'd get in trouble. I'm not saying they were wrong or evil. It was nothing like that. I respect them. I love them. But it was just a difference of opinion. But I saw hurting kids my age. I saw my peers hurting. And I would pray for kids. There was one kid who came with a skin condition. And I said, what's that on your arm? He told me what it was. And this was the first thing that happened on school campus. I said, what's that on your arm? And he said, well, it's a skin disease. I said, do you want it to go? And he looked at me like, what do you mean? I said, well, I pulled out the Bible and I started showing him. I was like, well, Jesus heals the sick. Well, how does he do that? I thought he was, no, his Holy Spirit's inside of all of us. And I was just repeating what I read in the Bible. I told him, no, you don't understand. You don't have to be sick anymore because Jesus paid it all. And it was just this very genuine, very innocent, you didn't hear? And so I put my hand on him. I grabbed his skin. It was this flaky, very rough, calloused. It was almost like a bunch of scabs all over. And I grabbed his arm, and we began to pray. And right there in front of us, that skin disease began to go away. Now, I don't like to exaggerate, so I'll have to tell you, it didn't completely go. But the redness went down, the bumps started going down. There was flakiness that was left, that was about it. The redness went down, and it was like the goosebumps all over them went down. And over the next couple days, he came perfectly clear skin, completely healed. Another kid was able to take off his glasses, wasn't able to see. I mean, he had thick glasses, took them off. He said he felt like hot needles in his eyes, like someone was just very meticulously going in and putting needles, little hot needles, and he said, I can see. And so while this is all happening, I mean, every day at lunch, I would go, and people knew you can come for prayer. And it got to the point where every day at lunch, there was kids. It began to be a group that would gather every so often. And it was a regular group, and every so often we had someone who wasn't a part of the group before. And they would gather, we would pray, and the presence of the Holy Spirit would visit us right then. The glory of God fell on that campus to the point where as we're praying, I would look over the shoulders of the ones that we're praying for, and I would look off into the distance, and I would see people kind of looking at this. The students would stand off and sort of try to observe and peek their head over, and they're wondering, they're talking, and what are they doing over there? And as they approached, they begin to do this. And they're like, they said that they felt like this burning sensation inside their heart. And they said their knees got really weak. These are people who had no conceptualization of what was even going on in that huddle. And as they approached it, they hit the floor and they said, it was weird. As we approached, we couldn't even get near. That was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there was this one guy, I would give you his name, but I'm still in contact with him today. So I won't do it. And you know who you are. If you're watching, you better be watching. But if you're not watching, he didn't hear me say that either one. Anyway, so he's looking at all these and he's observing. He's trying to peek his head over like everyone else had done. And I hear him just starting to complain. Oh, this is not real. This is fake. Oh, this is a scam. And he's just complaining and complaining. And I'll never forget how this happened. I promise you it happened just like this. It was about 6 or 7 of us gathered. I'm praying, I'm teaching. And he comes and he's looking and he's telling his friend how fake all of this is. And I hear him talking about how the miracles aren't really happening, how it's all in their head. And I heard this behind me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to talk to this guy. When I turned and I put my hand out in a conversational tone to talk to him, I turned and I remember saying something like, well, what are your questions? I was going to answer some of his questions. As I turned and looked to him, he hit the floor. The power of God comes on him. It looked like somebody had come behind him and kicked his legs out from under him. Because he went back and he actually landed on a pile of bricks. Yeah, he didn't fake that. And he gets up real frantic. He dusts himself off and he goes, it's fake. Just a couple weeks later, he gets saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the power of God remained on. I mean, I remember he was speaking in tongues. We're talking about a guy who was standing there watching this going, this is all fake. But he had what I call those reservations that many of us carry in our hearts. During this same season, I had a dream, and I'm not trying to sound spiritual by trying to sound like Paul, but I really can't tell you if it was a dream or a vision. Again, I'm not trying to sound like Paul or anything like that. I really cannot tell you. Because there would be times when I'd be praying for several hours, and what would happen is, I would instead get on the floor and pray. So I would go in and out of these sleeps and prayer. I would have dreams and visions, and it was a very interesting time in my life. And so I remember I had this one, whatever it was, this is what I saw or conceptualized in my mind or call it. I believe some daydreams are actually visions. Because you notice you see it right here, but then you come back to reality somehow. And so what had happened in this dream, I'll call it a dream for conversation's sake. What happened in this dream is I'm walking through all of these dark, cavern-like tunnels. And they look like rock formations, stalagmites and everything. And I'm walking through, and somehow I knew in this dream that Jesus was standing right next to me. And we're walking through, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit as I'm telling you this. I feel that burning right now. And it's like that, how many of you sense him in the atmosphere right now? And so Jesus was right next to me. I somehow knew that. I didn't see him, I didn't look, but I did see kind of like an emitted glow, like, you know, when you see a light on the side of your eye? Like how I just saw that light from whoever's phone that was. It was on the side of my eye. And so we're going through all these caverns, and I remember as Jesus walked in with me, it would light up. And in every room we walked, Jesus would first ask permission. I didn't hear a voice. You know how in a dream you just know someone's telling you something? He would ask me for permission, and we'd enter the room. And when we entered the room, it would light up. And then we'd go down a little ways, and as we're going down corridors, the light's going before us, and as we're passing it, whatever we went to stood lit even as we left the room. And so we're going through all of these chambers, and eventually I realize that this rock formation was my heart. There are many chambers in your heart. At salvation, we don't surrender everything to Jesus. I know that's our lingo, and I understand what we mean by that. But at salvation, if you surrendered everything to Jesus, you'd be perfect. But the reality is that what is surrendered at salvation is not everything. It's your will to call him Lord. It's your will to say, do what you want in my life. So it's the will that is submitted at salvation. And as you begin to move through these chambers of the heart, as I did in my dream, I began to surrender. And I'll never forget, we came to this one chamber. And for some reason, the darkness was just more dark. There was absolutely nothing. And I'm not saying that I've completely overcome this. I'm not saying that I'm over this now or that I've defeated it. But I knew that this portion of the chamber was my own will and self-centered selfishness. This part was selfishness at its core. And Jesus asked permission. He said, can I go in here? And I remember in the dream, I began to sweat. Because I knew that if I gave him that, he had permission to spend my life for his glory however he chose. I knew that if I gave him that dark chamber, that I was saying, you have my permission. I can't say I would ever be emotionally prepared. I can't say I wouldn't be terrified. But I said, you have my permission. You have to promise to give me the strength if the moment ever comes to take my life and spend it on the gospel. And that went on what felt like hours in that dream. Because I knew if I gave him permission there, that he could, that was, if you want to spill my blood for the gospel, you can do it. Now, people ask me, would you do it? My answer, if I'm being honest, I'd like to think I would. Let's just be realistic. Someone has a gun to your head, says, say Jesus is not Lord. You'd say, well, I'm not really denouncing him. And that's a little, you know what I mean? I don't know. But I asked the Lord, Lord, if the moment ever comes, you have to, if you don't give me the strength, I won't be able to do it. That's period. But I knew that in that moment, all of my dreams, everything, and this is about the time I wanted to start going to college. I wanted to go study philosophy. I wanted to study business. There were many other things that I had looked into doing, but this was it. I said, okay, I'm not going to go to college. I'm not going to be counted among those I want to be counted among. I'm going to give that up, and this is yours. My life is yours, however you want to spend it. And then I woke up from the dream. We have in our hearts areas that we have reserved, and we say, God, you can have everything else but this. And you can justify it however you wish. You can do the back and forth in your mind as long as you would like. But it comes down to this. If you have a reservation about which you're fighting God, then you don't trust that he's a good father. He said, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, if you look for it, Jeremiah says that if you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. And if you knock on that door of fellowship, that door is going to be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be wide open to you. But we have to stop telling ourselves that we're being realistic when we knowingly are fighting God. We have to stop hiding behind the guise of wisdom when God is asking us to have faith. Do you know the only difference between faith and foolishness? Someone told me one time, he was one of my pastors. He came up to me and said, either you're really anointed or you're really stupid. I pulled someone out of a wheelchair, that's why. They walked. He said, either you're really anointed or you're really stupid. Make sure you know which one. That stuck with me. And hurt me. No, I'm just kidding. And I remember thinking about that. And really, the only difference between faith and foolishness is whether or not God has spoken. If God has spoken, it's faith. If he's not, and so we have these reservations about the Holy Spirit. We say, God, you can do whatever you'd like, just don't do. God, I'll be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, but I won't speak in tongues. It got really quiet when I said that. I like to take after my Lord. Does this offend you? Then what will you think when I say that when you deny the gift, you deny that which Christ died to give you? Wow. I don't want to settle for anything less than all that God has for me. When you say no to the Holy Spirit, you say to the Holy Spirit, to God and the Son, I can do it better than you can do it. When you try to put your programs in the place of His power, when you try to replace miracles with methods, when you pursue attendance over the anointing, you say to the Holy Spirit, I don't need you and I know better than you. When you don't receive what God has for you, you say to God, I think you are going to give me a scorpion instead. People ask me all the time. And I had one person in particular who was just very persistent. It was just a condescending barrage of these questions that they thought were rhetorical. And how do you know that you're not imparting some demonic spirit? And how do you know that you're not leading people astray? And why do I need more than what God gave me at salvation? Am I not complete? Is the word of God not sufficient? And they just a barrage. I couldn't even get a word in. And this scripture came to mind. And I told them, it's not that I trust my ability to receive or discern. It's that I trust the intrinsic goodness of God. I trust that He's good and He's not going to give me anything that harms me. You don't think it was terrifying for the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea when it had split? The ocean terrifies me because it's unknown. I don't know what's going to come. How do we know there's not something in there that only comes out every 1,000 years? And I'm on the beach one day when it decides to come. It's unknown. That's why you're afraid of the dark. It's because it's unknown. Because you don't know what's there. You imagine it to be the worst thing that could possibly be. I was talking to a pastor about the Holy Spirit and the sin nature and all this. And he says, it's like being in a room that's dark and being told there's spiders in there when there's not. And yet, the Holy Spirit has been nothing but gentle, nothing but kind, nothing but loving. The Holy Spirit is the initiator of everything spiritual. You think you wanted to pray? Without the Holy Spirit, you couldn't even want to serve God. He's been guiding you all along. You surrendered your feet to Him. Did He take you anywhere that killed you? And even if He did He take you anywhere that would have killed you that wouldn't ultimately come with the reward attached to it? Did you surrender your hands to Him? Has he done anything evil with your hands that harmed you? Or has He brought deliverance and healing and sustenance and miracles? Did you surrender your eyes and your ears? Has He ever shown you anything that's traumatized you or shown you anything that's taken you out mentally? Did He ever tell you anything that hurt you or tell you anything that harmed you? You surrendered your mouth. Have you ever spoken a word that the Holy Spirit told you to speak that you regret long term? You trust Him with your very soul. You trust that out of all the historical figures who have ever been on planet Earth, of all the dictators, of all the kings, of all the religious figures, of all the rulers, of all the ideas, of all the philosophies, of all the beliefs, you trust that because the Holy Spirit tells you it's so, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you're saying, here, Jesus, I'm banking by faith my eternity on what you said. Yet we can't trust Him with the day-to-day. People clap when you say this, but it's true. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. I told you they clap, see? But here's what it's saying. Here's what it's saying. Indirectly, it's telling you that the Holy Spirit was the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus trusted the Holy Spirit. He put all that he was and had as an earthly man. Yes, he was God, but he was also man. And in his human nature, he put everything and banked on the Holy Spirit. Cynicism and skepticism go hand in hand. Cynicism comes from past disappointments. Skepticism keeps you from experiencing future miracles. And God has miracles. He has an infinite amount of ways to give you miracles, and all you need is one. And at any moment, God can give you that breakthrough. Once you leave the posture of faith, trust, belief, sincerity, once you've stepped out of that posture and begin to say within yourself, well, I don't think so, or maybe not this time, or maybe next time, or this always happens. Once you leave that posture, you've positioned yourself to never receive. I'd rather go my whole life believing that I'll receive and never receive than stop believing and miss out on what could have been. Because I made a commitment, I don't know about you. I said, Jesus, you're the Lord. Jesus, you're the master. Jesus, I will follow you. Even if you never do another thing for me in my life, you've done enough. But he's a good God, and he wants to do more. And we say, Jesus, I'm trusting you. So if we're in, we're in. There are mental barriers. There are emotional barriers. There are past hurts. And maybe you've seen some strange and bizarre displays of the Holy Spirit. We all have. But why am I going to punish God for what man has done? Why am I going to ignore the real because I've seen counterfeit? Have you ever seen fake money? By the same logic, just give it over. You don't want it because you've seen so many fakes. But when you ask God in the name of Jesus, you trust he's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you a stone. I don't want to be held back anymore. I don't want to have these little reservations. And I speak it and I talk about it, but when I go home at night and I go to sleep, there's all these pockets of doubt and you feel like a fake. You feel like a hypocrite. God wants to bring you out of that. Let me tell you something. Those of you who are filled with the Holy Ghost, yes, you are a fake. You're a fake sinner. That's not really you. The real you is of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is? Spirit. So if I was born again of the Spirit in the name of Jesus, then I am? Spirit. So that means that when I'm acting out in sin, or I'm going off in that last, or I'm doubting, or I'm doing all this, yes, I'm a fake, but I'm a fake sinner, not a fake saint. I'm not a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm a sheep in wolf's clothing. And there's nothing you can do to change what God has already transformed. God has set it in motion, and it's done. And tonight, you heard me talk about tongues just a couple days ago. But for those of you who weren't here, I want to tell you that speaking in tongues is a beautiful heavenly language. Of all the letters that exist in the alphabet, 26 letters in the English alphabet, Pastor Jose, the English alphabet. Think about it. This whole Bible was written with 26 letters. Any book you've ever read in English, or any Pastor Kelly's book, the whole testimony, 26 letters. When you pray in tongues, it's like giving the writer the alphabet, but instead you're giving the Holy Spirit a mouth with which he can speak. When you pray in tongues, you're speaking sounds and syllables that have no meaning attached to them, and you're saying, Holy Spirit, add your own meaning to them. It's the language of surrender. God works in voids. All of creation came out of it. Enoch was not, for God took him. We need to be nots. Not K, not with a K. Nots. We need to be nots. I am not. And in that way, I surrender my tongue to the Holy Spirit. I surrender my voice to the Holy Spirit. When you speak those words and you don't attach your own intentions, God can put His intentions. The Holy Spirit Himself wants to pray for you. The Holy Spirit is saying, I will pray for you and your circumstance and what you're believing for myself if you would just give me a mouth to speak. Speaking in tongues is the physical manifestation of speech of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't need to speak in tongues to be filled. That's right. But you do need to speak in tongues to have the entirety of what that infilling means. I was saying, I got a car. I don't need to drive it as fast. I don't need to use everything. Imagine we applied that to everything. The feebleness of our excuses, they crumble under the weight of God's truth. And the reality is that every excuse you've built is like a sandcastle in the path of a mighty wave. You need to just surrender. You tell yourself, I'm being logical, I'm being skeptical, I'm being reserved, I want to make sure I'm balanced. No, you're afraid. You're afraid that God might do to you what your father did to you. You're afraid that God might do to you what people have done to you. You're afraid that the Holy Spirit might do to you what some churches have done to you. He is a good God, and if we ask Him for the Holy Spirit, He will send nothing and no one else. But you need to open your mouth. People say, well, how does it work? How do I speak in tongues? The Holy Spirit is not going to come down from heaven, grab your tongue, and start moving it. Everything we do with Him is in cooperation. If you will give Him sounds, He'll apply the meaning. You think too much. This is coming from a guy who thinks too much. Right, Chris? I think a lot. I'll be up for 3 days at a time because I think so much. I'm in a good mood. I'm happy, but his mind doesn't stop going. And I had trouble with this. Because I said, well, how do I know it's actually God? Oh, that's by faith. It's childlike faith that I'm going to trust, that I'm going to make these noises, of course, inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to allow those noises to come out, and I'm not going to understand it. But when I do it, there's such power. If anything else, I know that speaking in tongues is a gift from God because of the difference it makes in my life. How about the fact that we know that the gifts are still for today because they do what the Bible says they would do? And this gift is a beautiful prayer language. If you open your mouth, you'll surrender those syllables and sounds. The Holy Spirit will work with them. And He'll pray for you in ways that you never would have prayed for yourself. He'll pray for your marriage in things that you can't even see. He'll rebuke spirits Himself that you don't even know are involved in what you're doing. You're looking around, I don't know, I can't figure this out. I don't know why I can't get past this barrier. I've been asking, I've been seeking, I've been knocking. I've been asking, I've been seeking, I've been knocking. I can't get past this. I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit knows what to do. And He can pray in a way that will give you that breakthrough that you've been believing for. Some of you businessmen, you're being pushed out. You're being rocked over. Your marketing's not working. You're doing TV and radio, whatever it is you're doing. And there's just, why is that guy and not me? And the Holy Spirit wants to be your business partner. The Holy Spirit is a financial advisor. He's a business partner. He's a marriage counselor. He's a parenting coach. He's a ministry strategist. He's an author. He's a prayer warrior. And He wants to come and help you. The Holy Spirit is the only living witness to biblical events on earth today. And He saw every single miracle. He saw every single breakthrough. He knows how the demonic works. He's been around longer than they have. He knows how the kingdom works. He's the one who built it. He knows what the word says. He's the one who wrote it. And He wants to teach you and be with you and help you and assist you. And He wants to speak through your mouth. We say, well, I don't want to look weird. You're already weird. You're not of this world. You believe, just the things you believe when you think about it, it's odd. And the scripture says, people who are not of the spirit, they're not going to get it. And so what? You're going to be able to do more for them freaking them out than you would be powerless. It's time to surrender. I feel that strong here tonight. Reservations. Hurts. I've been there, done that, seen this, seen that, seen it all. Ministry this, ministry fakes, the fake TV evangelists, whatever. He's a real Holy Spirit. And he wants to work with you. He wants to assist. That's how humble he is. That time after time after time of rejection and skepticism and doubt, or when you doubt moves of God, when you doubt, you're not doubting a church, you're not doubting an evangelist, you're not doubting a message or a fellowship or an idea, you're doubting the character of the Holy Spirit. Personally. What has he ever done to deserve that? The scripture says, grieve not the Spirit. He has feelings so he can be hurt. He has a will so he can be resisted. He has a voice so it's possible to ignore him. He makes commands so it's possible that you can disobey him. He has intentions and expectations so it's possible to disappoint him. No more reservations. I'm not trying to preach and make you feel bad. I'm not trying to preach guilt. I'm trying to wake you up to the real. I'm not, that's it. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm trying to wake you up. The Holy Spirit just told that to me. No more reservations. No more holding back. No more cynicism. No more skepticism. No more doubting. No more every time a preacher gets up. You know how you know it's you? Because every time a preacher gets up, you're telling yourself, here we go again. Every time they take an offering, you cringe. Every time the worship starts and Pastor Esther starts to encourage you to worship, you get critical and resistant. Oh, I know you've heard this before. Because that's what you were just saying when I said it, and that's how you know it's you. Is it possible? Could the Holy Spirit use your life as he wishes? And is it possible that you're the breakthrough in this community? That you're the breakthrough in this church? Is it possible that what someone else is praying for is dependent upon you obeying? Come on, man. Good. That you should have prospered in your business a long time ago? Because you weren't giving, it didn't prosper. And because you didn't prosper, you couldn't support a certain ministry. You couldn't support a certain person. Is it possible that someone in your church is going without what God wants to give them because you disobeyed? Wow. I don't know if that fits into your theology, but it does fit our reality that we're all interconnected. Is he welcomed here? I mean, he doesn't have any commitments to any denomination. He's not Pentecostal, he's not charismatic, he's not Praise Chapel, he's not Baptist, he's not Lutheran, he's not Methodist, he's not Catholic. He doesn't hold to any of those flags. He's spirit. He's God's Holy Spirit. You're in this place, and you've had reservations. I know because he's drawing you right now. And you can think of those reservations, those places where you've not been obedient, those places where, or you're saying, I want to be filled with that gift that's speaking in tongues. Don't hesitate. Don't do that thing where you look to see how many people are going, and then you come up. Because this is personal. And the moment you wait for that person next to you to get up and go, you just made it more about yourself than it should be. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to invite you. And he wants to change your circumstance. He wants to work on your heart. Is he welcome here? Is he welcome with you? Are you reserved when he shows up to your place? Do you keep your distance from him? Are you ashamed of him? Holy Spirit, we give you ourselves. We want to be friends of the Spirit. Lord, more important than healing, more important than breakthrough and all these wonderful things, Lord, we just want to be obedient.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Consider lending this ministry a helping hand by becoming a monthly supporter or by making a one-time donation. For ministry information or general correspondence, visit www.davidhernandezministries.com or call 888-740-1110. Be sure to follow me on Twitter @DigaHernandez. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast.